It's Friday, May 13th. Yeah, Friday the 13th. And you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Haven't we got a great show lined up for you? Lots to share, some good news here in the family household. But you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go!
Web browser.
Go!
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to come over to the home website of Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Got lots to share with you, lots of shows to share on a weekly basis. We do two Geek News Central podcasts basically every Monday and Thursday night. They're recorded, released Tuesday and Friday. Every Monday, we have the Robot Underpants is a show, new show to the network that comes out Monday morning. On Thursdays, we have the Gadget Professor. And I want to talk just a little bit later about some things going on with the Gadget Professor and maybe why his show is not up tonight already. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But of course, we got the Saturday morning tech show as well. And this Saturday, I think you're going to enjoy. I've already kind of got the lineup set up, got our guests lined up. And we're going to have a pretty good discussion over some announcements this week and some things that could really change the computing industry. But anyway, make sure you check out all the shows. Lots of content for you. I think we're up to about 5 hours of content right now at Geek News Central per week. And we're looking for three more show hosts. So if you think you've got what it takes to be a host over here, drop me a line. Of course, anyone that's listening to the show tonight can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Or you can call our voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show and are part of our family here. Of course, being in Hawaii, the Ohana is really is synonymous with the word family. So we hope that as you have checked the show out for the first time here, that you become part of our Ohana and stay subscribed. And to do so, really, all you got to do is come over to geeknewscentral.com and you'll find on the website, in the third column of the website, or excuse me, in the second column of the website, you're going to see an orange box. And on that box is going to have all the RSS feeds, Zoom feeds, iTunes feeds, in order to get subscribed to all of our great shows here. So we definitely recommend, if you like listening to audio, that you subscribe to the audio feeds of these shows. And then, of course, if you want to tune in to the video portions, you can do so either here or on the Roku or Boxy. We distribute the shows all over the place. Basically, any glass, any place, any time is our motto. So we hope that you will consume the content wherever you see fit. And if you have some glass that we're not on, in other words, if you're watching content in a place where that we don't reside, please let me know and we'll see what we can do to get the shows there. So, you know, we have listeners from 182 countries worldwide, and we want to welcome them to the show as well. And the way they stay informed of what's going on the show is by signing up for the newsletter. The newsletter is sent out immediately following the show. Contains the show notes of what's covered during the podcast. And you will basically have all of the data right there that I cover so that you can either follow along or check the content out before you listen to the show. And but basically, staying subscribed and being part of the newsletter guarantees that you'll never miss a single episode here. And, of course, you can watch us live if you're up late enough here on either on the Ustream or on our live stream at live.geeknewscentral.com. The show goes into replay mode for about 24 hours immediately following the show. So if you don't catch us, it's always up on Tuesdays and Fridays. continuously, then pretty much all day Saturday as well. At some point, we'll get to the point where we will be, basically, the stream will be playing 24/7, but we're not quite to that point. We need a few more shows in to make it worthwhile to keep the stream up and dedicate the bandwidth to that. As I said earlier, we want you to send email to the show if you've got comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365, or, of course, you can follow me at Twitter at Geek News. All right, got lots to share with you tonight. We're going to take care of a little business here first before we get into the critical topics, before we get into the actual tech content. But as you know, GoDaddy's a longtime sponsor here at the show. And really, when you are thinking about domain names, when you are thinking about hosting, really, GoDaddy is the place to go. They've got some of the best deals on the marketplace right now. And I actually have an unbelievable deal for you. And what you're going to be able to do is, if even if you aren't on Geek News Central directly, you can come over here to the hosting link. You can go ahead and click down into the web hosting section. And they're going to be talking about their 4GH, their 4GH web hosting. This is fourth generation hosting. It's cloud computing at its best. You're basically it's free software, free easy setup, unlimited storage and bandwidth, 24/7 email, phone, and web support. And I stand behind all these great products at GoDaddy. But as a listener of this show, you're going to get deluxe hosting, which is their best value package, which really, if you look at the pricing here, if you just do month to month, it's $7.99. But if you sign up for a full year at the $6.99 price point, and then you use my promo code GEEKECO, you will actually get 12 months at economy pricing at $3.99. Now, that's not all. You know, there's some other great deals. So if you're not into getting a hosting account, you can come over here to geeknewscentral.com. You can click on the GoDaddy promo code link that's in the second column of the website. And again, there's a full list of codes here. Geek199 to get $1.99.com names for new customers. That GEEKECO, again, is 4GH hosting economy pricing for a premium package. Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd 20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account, so you can kind of mix and match and see what saves you the most cash. And ComSale 2, these are all great codes, and you can find them at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. They're the ones that primarily keep the lights on around here, along with our other sponsors as well. We'll talk about them here in just a few minutes. We got a list of stuff here to go through, but the first thing I want to do is I had a call from Don, our gadget man from the Gadget Professor, and he shared some news that I really can't go into too much detail with right at this moment. I don't have I don't want to break his confidence and tell him what's going on, but he's got a very, very serious family emergency. And he's got a couple of the Gadget Professors in the can. And I told Don to, no matter what here, this show and what we do at Geek News Central, it's a family affair. And we treat everyone as family. And while we're running a business and we're working to build revenue and everything else, no matter what, family comes first. And I told Don, I said, if you can't get a couple of episodes out, I said, it's fine. You got to do what you got to do. Take care of the family. Make sure that, and this is something that could go on for an extended period. I mean, I just said for now, you know, just do what you got to do. And if we need to step in and help him produce some shows, we will. But the Gadget Professor is going to be back with us when he can. And again, I think he's got a couple of shows already in the can. So those will probably come out on a regular basis, and we'll talk to him and find out what's going on with the situation there. He's in Phoenix. And I know that he actually was planning to go to his summer home and was unable to do so because of this development. But we are going to keep our fingers crossed here for Don and his family. And that's all. I won't share any more unless Don tells me I can do so at a later date. But anyway, feel free to send your thoughts and prayers to the Bain family. And TheGadgetProfessor@gmail.com is the email address, and send Don a note. And of course, you can follow him on Twitter as well. Hey, one thing we did is we launched, I don't know if I talked about this during, well, anyway, before I jump topics here, Don, take care. And we look forward to seeing you back really in full swing here. All right, let me go ahead and switch topics. The one thing that we did earlier this week, and I don't know if I talked about it on the last show or not, but we launched the Blueberry Android app. And this is our first foray into launching an app for the Android. And it's up and available within the actual Android store. And I'm going to actually bring this up here. It's at over at themarket.android.com. And let me bring this screen up. So anyway, we have got all the best shows at blueberry.com are now available on the Android app. So this is our podcast community app and the MyCast system. So if you've subscribed to shows on Blueberry, you're going to be able to subscribe right in the app or actually sync your account with the one that you got at blueberry.com. And you'll be able to use the app to listen and watch to your most favorite shows. We hope that you will go over there, pick it up, download it, install it. Let us know what you think. This is version 1.0 for us. So, you know, this is our first foray here. And feel free to write up a review. We definitely appreciate any reviews that you make about this. Tweet about it. And so at this point, I think we're over, at least the download numbers say we're over 100 installs, which is good. But if you get a chance, just search for Blueberry at themarket.android.com. Well, this evening, what we've been doing is here in Hawaii, the school districts are just like any other school district. You live on a certain street, your kids go to a certain school, and that's the way it is pretty much throughout the United States. But what you can do here in Hawaii is if there's another school that you want to have your kids in, you apply for what's called a GE or geographic exception. And you basically go to the school, you fill out some paperwork, they put it on file, and depending upon the school, either they'll do a lottery, they'll do a selection process, and really they kind of can even pick the cream of the crop. And I think there's a certain number of kids they have to pick lottery style, and the other ones they can pick random or from a group. And we've been waiting. Now, my daughter got accepted last year into Mauna Loa High School, and now she plays the violin. She's involved in the JROTC program and does a bunch of extracurricular activities. And so she got in from recommendation letters from her teachers and everything last year. So basically, it's not an automatic that your second kid's going to make it in. You have to do the same application process. And they have much higher GPA they have to maintain. They have to maintain a minimum of a 2.5 GPA across all courses in all quarters. So it's not like they can slip on their grades. They have to maintain a 2.5 or above in every subject in order to maintain eligibility for the following year. And so anyway, we applied for my son, Ray. He's going to be a freshman next year to get in. And we waited and we waited. And we've heard some kids have got their acceptance letters and other kids are getting their rejection letters. And there's, you know, it's this big competitive time because he's in the middle school in the district, but he's not. Wasn't an automatic shoe-in to make it into the high school. Well, we got home this evening from me picking them up, and we opened up the mailbox, and ba-bum, there was the letter from the high school, and we all came in the house, and I kind of like did my little tapped it on my forehead a few times, and I think my wife said a little prayer, and we opened it up and pulled it out, and yes, he was accepted. Now, this is a big thing in Hawaii because many of the schools, even though we live in a great neighborhood, no crime, no real issues. The neighbors are great. Property values are great. The school district is horrible. The school is overcrowded. I think there's like 50-some kids per classroom in the high school. They get a ranking report every year, like A-grade schools, B-grade schools, C-grade schools, D's, E's, and F's. And the school that we've got him in is like a B-rated school, a B-level school. And then the one in my district is like a D. And so, you know, just trying to do everything I can to keep them, get them in the right path from a education perspective. Now, some of you may say, well, Todd, why don't you send them to private school? In Hawaii, private schools start at $15,000 per kid. And I don't make that kind of bank, folks. I really don't. And with three kids in school right now, it just, you know, it doesn't work that way. You know, if I had one kid that was in school, I might be able to scrape, you know, be really, it would be tough. But, you know, with three, it's impossible. So we're pretty happy about that. But anyway, I digress. And we went long here in the intro. I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight on the tech side. But I just kind of want to share that little family thing with you where we're pretty happy and had a little celebration, had some ice cream cake. And I mean, it's kind of that big of a deal. It really is. So we're excited. Hey, GoToMeeting, you know, they have been a lifesaver for me. And I will say for the past 4, 5, 6 weeks, this application has made me more money. It will actually pay for itself for at least the next 5 years on some deals that we have signed in the past couple of weeks that would not have been possible without being able to use GoToMeeting, being so simple to use. You know, meetings are an essential part of business. Living here in Hawaii, I'm a programming team in Ohio, the lawyer in Michigan, the graphics in Colorado. We're a diverse group of people, and we are spread out all the country, so we have to have the ability to use virtual tools. And I don't have to get on an airplane every time and go somewhere. So presenting to clients, collaborating with colleagues, this is the application to use, folks. I'm telling you, you can schedule an online meeting in seconds or in advance. You basically can do everything except via email. Once you're in a meeting, everything is through you can use your webcam as the microphone so that you can talk and share your screen. It's easy to use. And a listener of this show, you're going to get a free deal here. You're going to get free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. That's a month of unlimited meetings free. Now all you got to do is visit GoToMeeting.com or click on the banner on the website. And if you click on the banner, it's going to take you over to a page like this. Fill out your name, email address, and it's going to get you started that way via the banner. Or you could go to meeting.com, click the orange try it free button, and then when you fill out the info, you're going to see a place to put a promo code in there, and I want you to enter the promo code podcast. So again, enter the promo code podcast on the page where it says promo code, and that gets us credit for your trial. Please do so. Please give it a try. I'm going to tell you, you're going to love it. As a matter of fact, they've got some exciting things coming with their first topic in tech I'm going to talk about here in a second. But you had to have been asleep on the planet of Mars to have not heard the big, huge, monumentous announcement by Google at their Google I/O Developers Conference the previous 2 days. I was slammed here, and I was building proposals and doing some other things. I really didn't have time to watch the live keynote on day two from the Google I/O event. I was really, you know, kind of caught. I just wasn't reading the news. I was busy, and about five or so, I flipped over it into TechMeme, and I wanted to see what was news that day, and it had this huge list of nothing talking about the Google Chromebook and the Chrome, and about Chrome OS. Well, I went and watched the keynote that was basically had been put up on YouTube, an hour and 10-minute keynote, and I'm gonna here to tell you, some of you may not be believers, but I think Google's on to something here. When you have a multi-billion-dollar company that has a vision where everything is laser-focused on the online side in the cloud, in bringing all these pieces that they bought for years, they bought Picasa, they bought all these little pieces of companies that are all online cloud companies. It's all been trickled together, and it's coming into this big mesh where when you buy a Google Chromebook from Acer or from Samsung, we'll talk about the notebooks here in a second, you're going to have a completely different experience. And I am going to be the first to admit that this is not going to explode out of the starting blocks. But I, based on what they've learned from this huge trial where they give thousands of people free initial Chromebooks, and got their feedback from business, from individual users. We had two team members at Geek News Central that had them. They are going to revolutionize, I think, how we do computing. And I'll be the first to admit, I didn't think a year ago or 2 years ago that when the iPad was introduced, that it would be used to the extent it is. Now, I'm a hardcore desktop user, but I think about what I use every day. I use browsers. Everything we do in our company is through a web interface. I don't have to really do anything from a application standpoint. I work in documents in Google Apps. I do email either in Thunderbird, which requires an application, or I go to webmail via Gmail or the Google App Mail. I work in spreadsheets and so forth. They're all up in Google Apps. You know, there's about 90% of the stuff I do is in a browser. And I got to thinking, okay, what are you really using in your PC? And so I kind of look down here and I just press the start button. And what do I see loaded? I see an FTP program that's often used. I see a QuickTime player. I see iTunes. I see Winamp, which is something I use to play music. I see some video editing software. And I see Photoshop. And I'm looking, okay, I've got hundreds of other programs in this computer, but I'm looking at how many of these do I really use? And I use these once in a blue moon. I mean, you know, they're on here, but I might use them once a month if I'm lucky. Some of the stuff I might use a couple times a year. So if you really think about what you're using right now, primarily, I'm betting many of you are going to run into the conclusion that you're doing a whole bunch of stuff in the cloud, per se, and not through a desktop app. Now, this isn't going to replace everybody's how they do business. But I could foresee, based upon what I saw in the demonstrations that they put forth and the applications that they were running, look at Angry Birds, or, you know, I guess that's the name of it, that game, running on the GNU processor and just blowing me away that they're actually able to do this inside a browser and running apps. And you can go to the Chrome OS App Store and start to download applications into the browser. Number one, the next multi-billion dollar company is going to be a company. This is my prediction. The next multi-billion dollar company is going to be the company that is going to build some awesome apps to run inside Chrome. Number two, there's going to be a huge number of companies that are going to be starting up that are going to be doing nothing but developing apps for Chrome, for the Chrome operating system that will run on your browser. The notebooks, a little pricey yet. First round, you know, $340 to $500. So, you know, not much of a savings from, quote unquote, what we're able to get with Windows already loaded. So from that standpoint, there's not a lot of savings there, but you don't have to buy antivirus. You don't have to buy any additional software unless you buy some apps from the App Store. They're going to update it for you automatically. They're going to do the virus protection for you. It's going to be susceptible to malware, because I think it will be. I think those devices will still be susceptible to some form of malware. And we have the cloud issues to worry about, you know, the cloud crashing and so forth. But I'm going to buy one, and I'm going to give it a good college try to see how much I can use it and how much an old guy like me that is used to his powerful desktop, his MacBook Pro over here, is going to be able to adapt, and can I live in this new medium? My wife said, I want one. I showed her the video. Now, remember, she's the case study that I'm using, because she's touched her Mac. Matter of fact, tonight, I think she used her MacBook Pro for the sixth time in like a year. She was on it tonight, signing some stuff up, because basically my son was showing her some stuff too, but she was still on the web. She wasn't doing any other application stuff. So she uses her iPad almost exclusively. So I might be wrong here on this Google Chrome operating system announcement, but I really think this is going to be big. I think it's going to be big in a big, 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 big way. And I have to laugh at what Sergey Brin said on OSNews.com. He basically said that operating systems are torturing users. Now, torturing users? They're a torture when a hard drive goes bad. They're a torture when I have to recover them. If we didn't have a Windows Home Server down here to recover from, That would be torture. So there's stuff that's mitigated some of this torturous effect of owning a PC and a Mac when things go wrong, which things will go wrong in hard drives and computers. But, you know, they're talking about developing a little hockey puck, sound familiar, that will be run by a remote control. And I love what the folks over at eHome Upgrade say, and I'm going to show this to you. Could this be the ultimate family computer? And it kind of, I'm thinking to myself, that looks like, that looks like something Apple makes. That looks like an Apple TV, but in a little different form factor. The handwriting is on the wall. Google is on one side of the fence. Microsoft, Apple are on the other. And it is going to be an amazing thing to watch. And this PC paradigm shift, if it happens, is going to be pretty remarkable. Is Microsoft and Apple going to lay down and let Chrome OS walk all over them? No way. But they presented some pretty compelling business options. And matter of fact, from feedback already, they're starting to modify some of the pricing even almost immediately. So, yeah, I'm going to order one of these Chromebooks. And I'll probably get the 12-inch one because I like a little bigger display, and pay whatever it costs. And we'll get the, I'll buy the 3G one. But what I'll do is I'm due for an upgrade on my Verizon. So I'm going to upgrade to a Verizon LTE 4G MiFi and have that as my, you know, it's got 3G available within the actual laptop itself. But I'm going to go ahead and get the MiFi and I need to upgrade that anyway. So that's kind of what I'll use in combination with that. And I'll order one of these and we'll get one in here on June 5th. Now, I'm looking forward to being able to do this. And I think that there could be a lot of information we'll be able to share about this in the future. But I was pretty taken. And I watched the keynote, and there's nothing perfect here yet. And this is going to grow over time. But it's if you really look at the pieces, and this thing's going to have a USB port. It's going to have a place where you can slide in a memory stick. So it's not like this thing's going to be like, you know, this piece of metal that you can't plug anything into. It's hard to say what the rest of the peripherals will be. But at the same point, we're going to have this ability, I think, to really see where the cloud can take us. Now, this is what I really want you to key in on here, okay? This is important. So the Chrome OS is running a browser, right? Now, if they're going to be developing this ultimate family computer that looks like a hockey puck, what's to stop them from making Google TV to run on this little hockey puck? What's to stop them from doing that? I don't think there's anything to stop them from doing that. Now, Google gave a demo of the upcoming new Google TV. And this is what we expected. This is what my team has planned for. We're completely ecstatic because we are well aligned to be ready to go when Google introduces the Honeycomb version of Google TV. It's basically going to be running on Android. You'll have access to apps through the Android market. Now, this is what I think is going to happen. In all honesty, let me show you this beautiful screenshot that they put up. Now, this was over on GigaOhm. And for those of you listening, I'll have this up in the show notes. So what you're going to have is you're going to have this screen where you're going to have a menu bar across the bottom, live TV, YouTube. There's going to be stuff there for Picasa, you know, all the different stuff. But you're going to be able to search like you normally would for, you know, different things. And the thing they put in here was Green Day, and I think Green Day, I think of some specific music that was from my time. And then across the top, some Twitter, TNT, and then apps. Apps down here in the bottom, okay? So now, all of you that are Android phone users, if you have an app that's been ported for Google TV, you're going to be able to run those apps right on your television, play games, do cool stuff, get news, all the things you've been wanting to do on Apple TV but haven't been able to do because Apple hasn't introduced apps. So here's my prediction. Apple is going to introduce apps on Apple TV. They have no choice in the matter. They have no choice, or else what's going to happen is the 5,000-pound gorilla called Google, in round two of the Google TV, they're not going to get it wrong the second time. They're not. They can't, because they're not. I don't think the public will give them a third chance. But I think they really went back to the drawing board and spent a lot of money and got this thing squared away, so that we're going to have an amazing experience all combined together. Now, it's kind of scary because Google's got all this information, right? But they launched on YouTube where you can rent videos now. They've got live streaming on YouTube now. So they're building live TV rentals. You're going to be able to access this via the new Chromebook OS or Chrome OS. So it's a big ecosystem, folks. You look at this 10,000-pound gorilla and what they have done and how they've been able to use their billions of dollars of market share and leverage to bring all this stuff together. And if you don't think that that is not going to have a major effect, I would be very surprised. They are going for the jugular against Microsoft and Apple. Will they win? Not in the first year. Not in the second year, but they own search. Right? So where does it go from there? Now, to top it off, they did the same thing Amazon did. They introduced their music beta and basically told the music industry, they thumbed their nose at them and launched their music beta anyway. So you're going to be able to do the same thing with, you know, with the, with Amazon. Did I say what Amazon introduced and their music place where you can store your music? They've done the same thing with this new music box, music beta, excuse me. So this is huge. It's going to be interesting. This is all out war. It really, really is. Now, you don't want to go out and buy a laptop? Don't worry. You don't have to. You're going to be able to install Chrome OS on your own notebook. If you've got an old, so I got a couple old notebooks laying around here. And so you can do that as well. And you'll end up with, you can do, if you've got something with Windows 7 already installed, you can install Chrome alongside it. You have the dual functionality. So the Extreme Tech folks have an article on how to do that. I have a link up in the show notes. As a matter of fact, that's when I want to get my hands on this early and take a closer look at it, because I never had an actual Chromebook to mess with. So are you guys excited? I am. I think this is big. I think this is the biggest news of the year so far, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and maybe some of you think I'm cracked in the head that it's going to go this way, but I'd love to hear your feedback at geeknews@gmail.com or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And for those of you watching, the email address and phone number have been flashing up on the screen for you. Just write those down or add those to your address book, okay? All right, let's talk a little bit here about something more serious and something that you all need to really listen to. And this is important. Wake up if you've been snoozing. I hope you haven't been up to this point, but if you have, here's the headline. Senate bill amounts to death penalty for websites. And you're saying, Todd, what do you mean the Senate is going to be able to assign a death penalty for a website? And this is I don't think this is going to, if this gets through, I don't think it's going to withstand Supreme Court action. But here it is. A new bill backed by movie studios and other large copyright holders take a novel approach to curbing access to pirated websites. It's the internet death penalty. So what they're going to do is they are introducing a bill called the Protect IP Act. And what this Protect IP Act would allow, it would allow the Justice Department would receive the power to seek a court order against an alleged infringing website and serve that order on the search engines. And then certain domain name system providers and internet advertising firms would then be required to immediately put the websites in a block list. Any copyright holder, you, me, anyone, could also file a lawsuit and seek to levy a less dramatic form of internet punishment by blocking only financial transactions and internet advertising services from doing business with the suspected infringer. So if someone thinks that Geek News Central has some infringing content on it, they can go to court and get a court order to ban me from having any advertisers on my site or taking donations just by going and saying that they have an issue. This kind of bypasses DMCA protection, you know, because if someone comes and tries to get content taken down from my website, they have to go to my hosting provider, which is GoDaddy, say, hey, Todd's website at geeknewscentral.com has infringing content. GoDaddy complies with the DMCA action, takes the site down, sends me information letting me know that there's a DMCA request, there's an issue, or asking me, and basically I can respond. If I respond and contest it, GoDaddy has to put my website back on the map. And when they do so, then it's up to the person who has filed the DMCA notice to sue me in court to prove that I'm infringing. We have protection there. But this is insane. The folks over at CNET say it's not entirely clear how broad the Protect IP Act's authority would be. An earlier draft of the legislation would have allowed the Justice Department to order any interactive computer service, a phrase courts have interpreted to mean any website, to block access to the suspected pirate site. In other words, you're going to tell Comcast, or going to tell Time Warner to block the Pirate Bay, to block any other site that the Justice Department feels is infringing on copyright. Okay, here are the sponsors of this bill. Get your pens out. Patrick Leahy, Democrat, Vermont. Orrin Hatch, Republican, Utah. Chuck Grassley, Republican, Iowa. Charles Schumer, Democrat, New York. Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, New York. Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat, Rhode Island. Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina. Herb Knoll, Democrat, Wisconsin. Chris Coons, Democrat, Delaware. And Richard Blumenthal, Democrat, Connecticut. So here we have some pretty heavy hitters in Congress. Let's see here. We got some seriously heavy hitters in Congress who are sponsoring this. You need to get on the phones. You need to tear this thing up, folks. You need to tear this thing up, get on the phone, because what this is doing is this is giving the government the ability to censor the internet. I'm not here to protect sites that are doing illegal stuff, okay? But if they're doing illegal stuff, then there has to be, already ICE has taken sites down. They're just removing them. It's scary. It is scary stuff. All around a bill backed by movie studios and other large copyright holders. Hey, if you can't beat him in court, let's get him on legislation. Let's get it so we have the authority to block their sites. Tell an internet service provider, oh, we want you to just put in blocks. Don't let your, no way, no how do we want you to allow your users to get to the Pirate Bay. We don't want your users to get to Geek News Central because he's talking about something that goes against the vein of what the government wants seen. And maybe I'm being a little extreme here, but where's the line drawn? If I pick a clip and play a little bit of a clip from a music thing, and they bring my site down because I have got copyright material on my site, there's other means. This is bad, 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 bad. You're gonna hear more about this. Need to get on the phone. You need to get your email fired up. And you need to go after and scream loud and say what you feel about this bill. Have no idea where it's going to go in the House. I don't know where the president feels on this because he hasn't come out and said whether or not he supports the bill. But if you look at this bipartisan list of folks that are on this, this is crazy. Leahy said in a statement, this proposal permits law enforcement to crack down on rogue websites dedicated to the sale of infringing and counterfeit goods. The actual bill text, however, doesn't require that the hierarchical website sell anything. Meaning, for example, if the New York Times are accused of primary distributing copyrighted internal bank documents, access from the United States could be curbed. Does that mean if the New York Times put something up there that the government likes? Absolutely. This is bad. A link will be up in the show notes. Love to hear you guys' thoughts on this. Send a feedback to me, okay? Hey, and the thing that we shouldn't be surprised too is the government's not real happy with what's going on with AT&T and T-Mobile. It's being reported that congressional folks have had a pretty rough time on them. And a certain Democrat senator from Minnesota has took AT&T to task. Basically, they say, hey, didn't we break you up before, AT&T? Didn't we tear you apart because you became too almighty and powerful? Well, absolutely they did. And they did that back in the 90s. Excuse me, 84 to 87. That would have been, yeah, it would have been 84 to 87, 88. No, it would have been late 80s, early 90s is when they did that, when they tore. Basically, remember when you all had to, those of you that are old enough, remember when you got to choose your long-distance carrier and no longer had to be on AT&T and get charged $10 for a three-minute call? Do you remember when Sprint and do you remember when MCI came on board as long-distance carriers and you got to choose? I can't tell you how ecstatic I was when I got to have my bill from MCI and I got to have I saved money, huge money. And here we have AT&T once again becoming this big conglomerate. But if they don't get this through, Reuters is reporting a failed takeover of T-Mobile would cost AT&T as much as $6 billion. Because T-Mobile's put some clauses in, said, hey, if we get stuck in the rain here, we want this, 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 and this. And AT&T has to give it to them. I don't know. Maybe this will continue down the road and it will end up being approved. But at least Al Franken, Senator Al Franken, took him to task and some other committee members as well. And we talked about the Apple ecosystem, right? And, I've warned about the walled garden of Apple. And the 30% thing that was coming in the end of June. And really what companies are facing. Here is a blog posting that just is amazing. It says, dear iFlow reader user, thank you for being one of our valued customers. We're writing you today to make a very sad announcement. Beam It Down software and the iFlow reader will cease operations as of May 31st. We absolutely do not want to do this, but Apple has made it completely impossible for anyone but Apple to make a profit selling contemporary ebooks on any iOS device. We cannot survive selling books at a loss, and so we're focused to go out of business. We bet everything on Apple and iOS, and then Apple killed us by changing the rules in the middle of the game. This is a very sad day for innovation on iOS in the important application category. We're a small company that thought we could build a better product. We think we did, but are powerless against Apple's absolute control of the iOS platform. Wow. And they go on to talk about 30% and how they can't survive. This is going to happen to a lot more companies. Control, control, control. Control, control. Speaking of control, Netflix, boy, oh boy, they filed an FCC piece today that used a little bit of Canadian logic. Netflix is saying ISPs kill web freedom. And basically what they've done is included a letter and some history on what the true cost of delivering bandwidth is. And they used the situation that happened up in Canada where folks were going to be forced to pay a lot more money because of these per gigabit cost. Here's something, I love what they say. Here's what Netflix told Canadian regulators. Netflix evidence on the most on the cost incremental internet bandwidth provided in a report established that it is the average incremental cost of internet traffic by heavy users is likely 1 cent or less per gigabyte. Bell's wholesale user-based billing rates provides margins in excess of 99%. That this belies any agreement that such rates are primarily intended to recover any additional cost to the system. Rather, such excessive margins clearly have to do more with maximizing the size of incumbents' windfall. What they sent to the FCC from that is the ISP costs, however, deliver a marginal gigabit from one to our regional interchange points over the last mile where network to the consumer is less than a penny and falling. So there's no reason to pay per gigabit is economically necessary. Moreover, at $1 per gigabit over wire networks, it would be grossly overpriced. So basically, Netflix is going back and saying, hey, AT&T has put on caps. And if you go over, they're going to be charging you this extraordinary amount of money. And really, the only reason that they're doing that is to make more money. That's not costing them any more. The cost for wholesale delivery of incremental intertraffic via the local access cloud has been estimated from range from a penny per gigabyte to 1.4 cents per gigabyte for average heavy users ranging from 60 to 250 gigs of usage per month, well above the current average user of all internet users, which has been estimated beyond 24 gigs a month in Canada. So this basically goes on saying you are killing us by not having some sort of net neutrality allowance or net neutrality fighting ability by the FCC. And so this letter did not go to the FCC. They met with the FCC and released a letter to representatives Fred Upton, the Republican of Michigan, and Henry Waxman, Democrat of California. Which committees they are on, I don't know. But this goes on to say that, hey, this is going to kill our business. This is going to impact us. And these folks are just greedy. And this is a good read. And it's over on GigaOhm.com. I have a link up in the show notes. But it's nice to see someone fighting back. Now, here's the weirdest deal of the week. Why did Microsoft buy Skype? Why did they do that? They did. They got quick with it as well. Video streaming folks. But I guess they want Skype on Xbox, right? I don't know. What do you guys think they bought Skype for? It seems like a weird purchase to me, but maybe not. Now, John C. DeVore seems to think that Microsoft is going to destroy Skype. And it seems to be investors weren't too happy either. Love to hear guys' feedback on that one. In more weirdness, the FBI is saying customers might sue if they knew companies were helping us with wiretaps. You guys know that the warrantless wiretaps that the government allows, the FBI thinks that if the public knew which companies are helping the feds with those warrantless wiretaps, that people may sue about their rights being violated. This is what they said. Specifically, these businesses would be substantially harmed if their customers knew that they were furnishing information to the FBI. The stigma of working with the FBI would cause customers to cancel their company services and file civil actions and prevent further disclosure of subscriber info. If they're so worried about us being worried, then there must be some serious data transfers taking place, yeah? The FBI is saying that it shouldn't be forced to say who's violating their rights because people might get upset. Well, we already know this is happening, right? So we think we all know who the companies are involved anyway. Anyone that's got a data port in their company are probably affected. Now, we talked about this a couple shows ago. I'm switching topics here on you. The ACTA. The ACTA is being touted by the White House that it's not a treaty. Even though the European Union has already admitted that the ACTA is a binding treaty, And even ACTA supporters in the United States admitted that it's really a treaty, but yet the White House says this is not a treaty. A bunch of law professors explained why the ACTA required congressional approval. And law professor Frederick Abbott has written up an analysis questioning the baffling claim that ACTA wouldn't need congressional approval. And the question is, why is the White House so worried about putting this up for congressional discussion? I think they know that it will never pass based upon the language that's in this thing. Once again, it's all about copyright, right? Fair use. This is supposed to be a free trade agreement, supposedly. But it's all about digital rights. So I think this is one they're trying to sneak through. So I wanted to just bring this to your attention again so that you're aware of the ACTA stuff and you do some homework on it. Hey, you know, when the president came to office, didn't he say that no one in his administration, you know, they would do this revealing of who they've been lobbyists for and all that stuff? Check this out. And this smells so bad. I mean, it's so stinky. It's like a fresh pile of dog doo-doo. FCC commissioner has taken a job at Comcast just months after she voted to approve its deal with NBC Universal. FCC commissioner Meredith Atwell Baker is leaving her post to take a lobbying job at Comcast. Now, she can't lobby the FCC for 2 years, but she can walk up and down the halls of Congress and other parts of the government and lobby away for Comcast. In one door, out the other. In one door, out the other. Hey, you know, if you ever get tired of working at the FCC, you ought to come talk to us. We may have an awesome job for you with a great... I'd love to see her compensation package. There's something about this that stinks so bad. There should be requirements that every piece of email she has had with Comcast be revealed. And any hint of impropriety and being, hey, you want a job? Come on over here after you leave the FCC. We got this deal for you. You know, we got your house in the Hamptons. You know, we got this huge compensation package for you. You know, we'll give you 6 months vacation every year. This is unbelievable. And as citizens of this country, we should ask our government to investigate when she started talking to Comcast about a job. This is unbelievable. And this is corruption at the highest level. How can it not be? Do you think she wasn't thinking about changing jobs? Does any person in their right thought of mind even consider that this isn't some scam? In my opinion, this woman should be banned from walking and being and talking to any of our congressional reps for a very long time. It's disgusting. It's unacceptable. On a more lighter note, did you know that Bin Laden was using Sneakernet to do his email transfers? He'd write them up there in his palace, hand it to his couriers. Curry would go to some distant internet cafe, upload the email, and then download his other son, bring it back to him, and then he would reply. Talk about not being on the net. How many of you use TwitPic? TWITPIC. I would encourage you to immediately cease and desist using this app. They're going to take your pictures and they're going to sell them and they're not going to give you any of the money of the sale. But you're still going to retain copyright. Details are on my blog in the show notes. Now, in a weird one, Comcast today reached out to the Pirate Bay to find out why they were having problems, why Comcast customers are having problems getting to the pirate band. I'm sure this just made them upset. But Comcast, and along with several other ISPs, had some issues today with folks unable to get to the Pirate Bay, and they worked with their engineers to get it figured out. Nice move. What else happened today? Any more smoke and mirrors? Do you have a new iMac? Do you have an iMac? Did you know you can't replace the drive in it unless you do it from Apple? If you do put a different drive in there, like a solid-state drive or something like that, you're going to have an Apple hardware test failure. Because there's a little sensor, a special sensor that's built onto your SATA drive, and it's got a proprietary SATA power cable that basically the custom firmware in the drives, are, you have to have an Apple drive. You can't replace it with third party. So beware if you're buying a new iMac. That's you can't replace the drive unless you do it with Apple. So, more lock-in, yeah? LimeWire today agreed to settle with the RIAA for $105 million. And as I was reading through this, here's the crux. Apparently, the founder of LimeWire, Mark Gorton, had about $105 million in assets. So they settled today for about $105 million. It looks like he's going to lose his Manhattan penthouse, and he's going to lose his $100 million in he has some sort of a investment account. So he may not be a pauper, but he's going to write a check for $105 million to the RIAA. How much of that do you think is going to end up back in artists' pockets? I doubt very, very little. Now, I'm moving here fast because I'm already running out of time tonight. Sony, you know, let's think back about what was going on with Sony before they got hacked. Remember they were going after everyone that was hacking the PlayStation? They were just going out and hammering anyone. They had George Hotz in court. They were shutting down people in Germany from doing, basically hacks of the PlayStation. And then all of a sudden, the Sony network gets hacked and taken over. And there's some really good insight into this Business Week article. And says that Sony had done no security whatsoever to their network. And it was just like wide open. And it was like taking candy from a baby. That's how easy it was to hack the Sony network. Facebook today, what are they thinking? Facebook hired a PR firm to smear Google. They actually sent out a bunch of emails to a bunch of different folks that are bloggers and influential press people and said, hey, here's this article about this, you know, our client of ours is talking about some nasty stuff Google's doing. And they wanted those writers to expose things which Google is doing that raise privacy concerns. Facebook is like the last company in the world to be pointing a finger at another company over privacy issues. Facebook basically replied and said, we weren't asking them to go after, you know, basically we weren't trying to, you know, have this portrayed as a smear campaign. And yeah, okay, they got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, but I bet you some PR person at Facebook is out of a job today. I really, really do. All right, if you're into old music, National Jukebox is now online, serving up hits from the 1900s. And this is at Luck. Actually, it's not at nationaljukebox.com. I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's Luck. loc.gov/jukebox. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, they got some soap now that has caffeine in it. Now, someone that's a doctor or someone that knows about this type of, can this really work? Some folks over at ours did a test on this shower shock soap. It's got caffeine in it. They say you get about as much caffeine as drinking a cup of coffee in the shower. Now, that is a way to wake up. For those of you that are caffeine junkies, I'm a pretty big caffeine junkie. I'll be the first to admit it. But getting your caffeine buzz starts in the shower. So the price on these, how much is the price on each of these bars of soap? $7 a bar of soap. You know, I'm sorry. I'll just get a cup of coffee. It might be good to get one just to have fun with it. But $7. Well, I guess if you're going to make a specialized soap with caffeine, and it does demand a premium price. Do you know scientists are now thinking that there's a new theory that says some black holes may be survivors from an earlier universe? We always wondered what was here before the Big Bang, and many of us probably wonder what there is outside of our ever-expanding universe. Are we crashing into other universes, and those are being wrapped up into black holes? So that's where their scientists are kind of going right now. You guys know that we're doing a rendezvous with a giant asteroid called Vista later in the year. NASA's Dawn spacecraft has attained its first image of the giant asteroid Vesta, which will help fine-tune navigation during its approach. Dawn is expected to achieve orbit around Vesta on July 16th, when the asteroid is about 188 million kilometers, or 117 million miles from Earth. So they're going to be in orbit in around Vesta here this summer. And this is the largest asteroid we have approached to this. It's about the size of, they say it's about 330 miles in diameter. So it's not a small asteroid. It's huge. Scientists are also saying that there's about 30 supernovas per second going on in the observable universe. And probably one of the reasons why we haven't been able to talk to anyone or hear anyone else, because everyone else getting wiped out on a regular basis by these supernovas. Hey, the astronauts have arrived at the Cape for the May 16th launch of Endeavour. So we're going to try this round two here. So STS-134 is ready to go for an 8:56 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time launch on Monday, May 16th. Thunderbolt IMAX. Oh, yeah, we already talked about that. Hey, I didn't talk about this at the beginning of the show, and I should have because I completely forgot about it. Next show, I'll be live, not in Hawaii, but in the lower 48. I'll be in Texas next week. Two shows in Texas while I'm on travel. So just keep you advised there that the show is going to be on the road. A little unexpected travel trip here. So be definitely heading out for Texas. Be there for part of the week. Probably be in Austin all day Friday. So I'm going to probably try to do some meetings on Friday in Austin as well. So I know we have some listeners down there. Hey, IP address leads police to world's unluckiest file share. Imagine you're watching somebody's house. You're just house sitting. Someone comes knock at the door and they're looking for the owner because he's wanted on a warrant for file sharing. And while they're there picking up the guy's computers, they grab yours and walk out the door with it too. And turns out when they look at your computer that you've got peer-to-peer software installed and 200 movie files. Well, some dude that was watching another dude's house is now going to be suspected and go to court over downloading movies. I guess this was in Sweden. So kind of an unlucky house sitter there. So being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Hey, the movie streaming service Zedva, remember this is the company that rents you movies that you can stream to your computer. These are movies that are currently available via only available via DVD. They've lawyered up heavily, and they're going to fight. So this is going to be an interesting development here. The NPAA is going after them, too, in a big way. So it's going to be a good lawyer battle. So someone is going to stand up and see where this thing leads to. Hey, Cox has jumped on the TV Everywhere bandwagon. Cox Communications is the latest cable provider to join the TV Everywhere party, introducing a new site that will enable its subscribers to view tens of thousands of videos online. It's going to be at cox.com/TV. It's going to have 15,000 pieces of content. In big news, Adobe has taken on Wowza. They're going to court over Flash patents. This is big. I cannot tell you how big this is. This is a major impact. Wowza is a small company. This is going to be ugly. And we'll see where this leads. But Adobe's saying, hey, you're patent infringing, and we don't like it because it's impacting Adobe's business. That's why. I got lots more stuff here tonight, but obviously I digress too long on the Chrome OS stuff. But I'll have a few bonus articles at the end of the night talking about femtocells being the savior for 4G. I also have something in the show notes talking about a student who is printing up his own coupons and basically using those and sharing those with folks on the 4chan website. And basically he's in jail because companies have lost millions of dollars because of this guy's false coupons. There's a little article about why Google couldn't come to a deal with the record labels. It's essentially about money. And if you're having problems with the iPads with Wi-Fi, that bug that there was there before is back. So a little over a year ago, some of you had some issues, but with the latest 4.33 upgrade, a lot of people reporting Wi-Fi issues. Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos is saying that there may be a potential Amazon tablet, so we'll see where that comes. What else do I have here in the last? Hey, if you're into apps, FL Studios is going to be putting on a competitor to GarageBand on your iPad and iPhone, so that's coming soon. Couple cool ones here too as well. I won't cover that. We'll skip that to next time. Hey, Australian listeners, if you work for the Australian Tax Authority, they're putting keyloggers on your computers to supposedly check for stress injuries. They're trying to track who's doing repetitive typing. And sadly, out of Tokyo, the TEPCO number one reactor at Fujima, they basically, the number one reactor did have a 55% meltdown. So this is not good news from the Japanese front. What else do I have? I think that's it. I have a couple more here that are probably good for you to use. It'll be in the show notes. I think that's all. I got a call in from Trucker Tom here. Share that with you while we still have time, and a few emails as well. So again, if you have comments on tonight's show, you can dial the show hotline at 619-342-7365 and leave a comment just like Trucker Tom has done. Here comes Trucker Tom.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. I'm listening to your latest podcast, and you're talking about an experiment that Fortune Magazine is doing with iPad edition, trying to get drive subscriptions. What I'm convinced of at this point is that, at one time, maybe I could have been enticed into buying a $5 magazine or a $3 magazine or whatever back in the days when I was interested in magazines. And these days, I'm just not interested. If I was, I would. If I was interested in a particular magazine, I'm browsing around and I see a magazine, I might spend $3 or $4 or $5 on it, but my interests have changed over the years. However, if you have the right device, and I think the iPad, something like the iPad is getting there to be the right device in a changing world, then you put the content in front of people, and you have your really good content like the magazine used to be, people will pay for it. So I think people will pay for good content, but it's got to be in the right format on, and I think more importantly than anything, on the right device. And a magazine in a web browser just doesn't work. But an iPad, hey, it's starting to get there. So anyhow, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Trucker Tom, thanks for the call and thanks for the comments. We appreciate it. And on your feedback, I can tell you're tooling down the road there while you're making the submission for the show. But I think you're right. I do. But it is interesting what Forbes has done with this latest experiment. Hey, got an email from one of my listeners who kind of is chastising me here a little bit. He said, hey, Todd, while I do not have a PlayStation, in fact, avoid all Sony products since the rootkit fiasco, I'll put my 2 cents into the discussion. How is it people like you are able to talk about television, movies, and books, but when it comes to computer and video games, automatically tell people to go outside? Why is sitting in front of a TV and letting your brain rot, or worse, if you watch reality TV shows, acceptable, yet playing computer games is bad? Perhaps you need to stop judging people based on their hobbies and start acting your age. Because someone plays video games does not mean they do not exercise or socialize. While some gamers certainly fall into that stereotype, the vast majority of them do not, and it's an insult to those people to insinuate that they do not have a life. Despite listening to your show for years, I'm really considering dropping your show. After all, your show is 2 hours a week that could be spent outside exercising. Billy, be honest with you, a lot of people do spend the 2 hours that they listen to the show exercising. They're in the gym. They're doing a lot of different activities, and they're maximizing the time they have available to them. And I would hope if they're listening that they're not just sitting listening to me unless they're at work. But, you know, I think what we see in this country, and I'm not this, you know, I'm not a skinny guy. I'm not the guy that is the health fanatic. But I do think that a lot of people spend a huge amount of time in front of all devices, TVs, computers, gaming. But what I'm just saying here is this. The network is down. The Sony network is down. There's going to be some people that are obviously going to have gone through withdrawals because of the network being down and may not come up for a couple more weeks. So being that they have this opportunity, this one-time opportunity to really not have to be interactive and gaming as with a group gaming, they have this opportunity to really enjoy some extra time out and about. I'm not going to say whether or not it's up to people's own position, whether or not they what they want to do with their lives. So I'm sorry you took my comments the wrong way. Again, it's all done in fun on the show, and people can take it or leave it. But thanks for your appreciate your feedback anyway. All right, we're down to the end here, folks, and I'm keeping on time. Promised I would. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. We encourage you to write me at the show here or call into the hotline and let me know what you think. Hey, also, we've made some updates over it, and we're actually going to be making more. We've been working with Apple. The Tech Podcast channel on iTunes has been updated. All fresh listings, everything is in there, is current. We've also got the ProMed Network channel updated. We've got the Travelcast Network channel updated on iTunes. So go and find some great shows on iTunes from all of our networks. Also, you know, if you aren't subscribed, please do get subscribed to the show. And you can do that, of course, via the links to the second column of the website. You know, a large number of you subscribe via different devices. But what we're going to be doing is we're upping the game and doing a refresh on iTunes and working with the Apple team in phases. And it's going to be a three-phase step to the point where the landing page for all of our networks is going to be enhanced dramatically over time. We've just gotten this first step to get it cleaned up, and I want to thank the team over there at Apple for actually making the connection, and we're getting this right, and we look forward to making those of you that get the shows via iTunes to make it a little more eye-pleasing when you look at our network listings at Tech Podcast. So again, this show is part of the Tech Podcast Network, and we encourage you to check all the shows out over there at techpodcast.com. Of course, visit us here at geeknewscentral.com. All right, folks, that's it. Going to roll here. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time, and aloha.